Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. Our co-host, TJ Inman, will be with us shortly. Today we are breaking down Indiana's 42-36 win over Maryland yesterday at Memorial Stadium. The win got IU back to 4-4, 2-3 in the Big Ten, and they still have everything to play for in front of them. This win was a huge win in terms of getting to bowl eligibility. You had to win this one with the schedule remaining. TJ, how are you?
I'm doing great, Sammy. Yeah, yesterday was a great day for Hoosier fans. It was for those that attended the game, it was tremendous weather. Definitely did not feel like a late October game, but that was perfectly fine. No complaining from me. It was a gorgeous day at Memorial Stadium, and Indiana showcased kind of a vintage offensive performance for them. It was good to see the running game really get going with some creative ways to get it going.
Yep, a Chamber of Commerce day. The kickoff temperature was 79 degrees. There was a nice breeze, so it wasn't too hot, and it was just a perfect day, capped by a win. The only disappointing part to me, outside of the special teams performance, which we'll talk about, was it was a very small crowd, and I want to say it was probably the smallest crowd that I've seen since 2005 or 2006, and that's not exaggerating or anything. The announced attendance was 38,291. I don't even think it was close to that. The stadium might have been half full, but you know what? A win's a win. And this team is now going to Rutgers looking for their fifth win and in good shape. So let's break down the game a little bit. Indiana, we said, needed to get off to a fast start. TJ, they raced out to a 13-0 lead. Should have been 14-0, except Joseph Gideon dropped an extra point, which caused a lot of issues late in the game with going for two and not kicking extra points. And something that was really, we're trying to figure out the math in the press box and whether or not it made sense to go for those two. I don't think it did. I think that was the general consensus after, trying to crunch the numbers and trying to figure out what the strategy was there. A win's a win. The rushing attack woke up, 414 yards on the ground, 6 touchdowns. By 5 different players, and there's the package where you can see what Diamant can bring, and I know I have not been the biggest Diamant fan, but this is what he could do well, and lining him up at running back and quarterback, he made the best throw of his career, an absolutely fabulous 29 yard slant route. There was a frozen rope there, so he played well. And Wilson was very complimentary of him, calling him a great teammate. The only thing I'd like to see, you got to take it with the energy he gives you off the bench, but could have been thrown out of the game for 2 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. One came on a 6-yard run where he was drawing with a Maryland defender. It was a physical game on the outside. You saw, I think early on, Mitchell Page took a shot from a corner that was right in front of the ref. It wasn't called, and things like that. But on a 6-yard run with your team in scoring zone for a touchdown. You took at least 6 points, you know, at least three, possibly 6 points off the board there. And it was just not a smart play. And then on the 52-yard run that closed out the game, and thank goodness he scored that touchdown because Maryland came down and scored with in garbage time to cut it back to six. But he took his helmet off before, you know, leaving the field, and that's a big no-no, and could have been flagged for that. But overall, you got to be happy with Xander's performance and the offense's performance in general, because this was a team, Maryland, that came in at 5-2, riding high, even though they hadn't really played the competition, the meat of their schedule yet. That's going to be coming up, and they're now going to hang on and try and eke out some wins. And you know, I think they have Ohio State and Michigan and another tough team coming up, and then close the season with Rutgers. They might have to wait until Rutgers to get that sixth win. So it was a big game for both teams. You know, Maryland would like to have put their, you know, get that sixth win and not have to hold on for dear life against the rest of their schedule to get six. And Indiana needed this one to get to four. And this is one of the wins that will or could potentially get you to six, with Rutgers and Purdue being the other two who are in the I think I saw it on Crimson Quarry tweeted something out. I think they're both ranked. Either one is 110th and the other is 112th in S&P Plus ranking. So Indiana put themselves in a great position to go to their back-to-back bowl games. But let's talk about this. I think we called it the bacon and eggs package. If somebody has a better name, please tell us, because it's a package that fans should be excited about. So what were your first thoughts when Nate and Diamond came out after Richard Lego started very well? He's 4-for-4, and that offense is moving the ball.
Yeah, it was the timing of it when they unveiled it was very interesting, like you said, because the offense started out better than it has in any other game this season, which, you know, the bar was low for that, but they were moving well. I think they had three first downs and then a Maryland timeout. After that timeout, was it an injury or?
No, they called timeout because Diamant and Nate came out and they had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah.
So
right.
I mean,
yeah,
that's
Maryland
one
timeout.
Of the great things about this project or about this package is that Maryland was that they did not see this on tape. They had no idea what was going on. And after the game, DJ Durkin, who's Maryland's head coach, you know, said, you know, it was new. They had not done it this year. Early on, it caught us off guard. You know, they said they adjusted. It didn't look like it, but, you know, it's hard to tackle Tyler and AT.
Yeah, that's the thing is, yes, it caught Maryland off guard, and they can say they adjusted, but it was successful the entire day. There were a couple of plays where Maryland ended up kind of keying off on it, and it looked like maybe it was running out of steam because Maryland was getting in there a couple times in a row where they got into the backfield and held it to 1 or 2 yards. But then Indiana, like you said, they made little tweaks to it to where it forced Maryland to, well, okay, maybe they will throw it out of this. Like, you know, the timing of Diamant's pass, it came at a point where Indiana had run out of that package probably 15 or 16 times in a row at least, to where it was pretty much, with a couple of exceptions, whichever guy took the snap was keeping it. Yes, they were doing zone read principles, but it was very few handoffs. And I thought Tyler Nattee did a better job of kind of shading the ball. I thought his ball handling was better than Xander's was. He kind of kept the defense guessing longer than Xander did, who kind of barely sort of tucked it tummy and then kind of kept it himself and ran quickly I thought Nate kind of went with it a little bit longer and did a better job ball handling, but both did really well. Reading where they needed to go, where the hole was. For Xander, it was to the outside. For Nate, it was to the inside for the most part.
It was wherever he ran, because they weren't going to tackle him. He abused defenders yesterday. There was a stiff arm play where, you know, it could have been called assault, because the guy tried to tackle him, and he basically, it looked like he grabbed him by the shirt collar and threw him away and said, "Hey, you know, go hit the gym, pal, because you're not taking me down."
There was one. Nate was set to throw inside the 10. It looked a lot like the play that they debuted Tyron Nate on way back near the start of the season. It looked like he was set to throw. Maryland got back there on him. They were about to sack him for probably a 7 or 8 yard loss, and he just tossed the guy aside and got himself a nice
gain. That's the play I'm talking about. He basically looked like he grabbed the guy by the shirt collar and threw him away, and then got a nice gain, and I believe they ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive. But, you know, he was impressive. And I think another impressive thing is, and you know, we hope Brandon Knight's okay, but, you know, he went out early on with, I think, the first or second drive with it looked like a leg injury. He was carted off immediately after getting to the sideline.
Physically frustrated.
He was very upset.
Emotional.
On the cart.
Yep.
But, you know, give credit to Delroy Baker, who came in and spelled him. And this is something that fans can get. You know, it's hard to get excited about the offensive line, but you can feel good about, hey, now we have depth. Delroy Baker, he played well.
Third string right tackle was in there in a must-win game, and he did really, really good work.
Yeah, and you ran for, you know, you didn't miss a beat. You ran for 414 yards, and you now feel good going forward about where this offensive line might be, you know, the rest of the season and then down the road as well. So it was good to see that.
Yep.
You know, I thought Lego played well. You know, 16 to 25, he only made two really bad throws. There's where you're scratching your head, you go, who is he throwing to? But it was a tough win day. But 16 to 25, even though no touchdowns, the most important thing is they took care of the ball. They didn't throw any interceptions. Only one pass had a shot at being intercepted. And for the most part, I thought they played well. But some things to be concerned about, I think.
Real quick on Lego. The creativity was not – it did not end at that creative package that they had. I thought that the timing that they used Richard Lego to keep it, maybe this was not called, maybe this was Richard Lego just improvising, but to keep it on a zone read that he actually kept one of those and just lumbered up the middle, not the quickest guy at all, but he can move up the middle, you know, a big guy, and he picks up, a 5-yard rushing touchdown for Indiana, and that came right after Xander Diamant, his throw that got Indiana into that position. So the roles reversed there for those two, and it definitely kept Maryland. It was just it was a really good example of keeping Maryland's defense on their heels all day and keep them guessing all day. And it was probably a really terrible afternoon for Maryland's defensive coordinator and the defensive personnel, because it didn't look like they had any clue what was coming all day. So I just wanted to point that out. I thought the play calling yesterday from the offense, we talked about it going into the game, calling it a kitchen sink game, and, you know, whatever creative things you have, pull it out. There's no more time to save it. Pull them out, use it, be aggressive. And I thought that they checked all those boxes on Saturday.
Yeah, you could call it the kitchen sink package. You know, they scored on a wide receiver reverse. They got a touchdown from Lego on a keeper. They got two from Diamant. And, you know, Divine Redding, I thought, played very well. It's the Divine Redding we saw at the end of last year. And that might be due to playing a lesser defense in Maryland. And, You know, he runs hard, he tries hard, and plays hard. And you have Dan Feeney back, too. You're right.
Right.
That things
helps.
Like that. But
they ran a lot,
you know,
behind
even,
the right side.
Yes. And, you know, it's good to see that this running game can take advantage of a lesser defense. We said coming in they had given up over 290 yards a game over the last three or four games, and
yep.
IU should be able to run the ball, and they did. Now, on the defensive side, you know, it was a little shaky early on. Maryland moved
yep.
the ball well. My thing is, if you're a Maryland fan, how do you not give Ty Johnson the ball more, man? The guy averages 10.6 yards per carry, and you only give him the ball 13
Terrific.
Times, and he looked like an all Big Ten caliber back when he went down and shed four or five tackles on that 66 yard touchdown run. Now, you know, should have IU have tackled him? Probably, but that kid is fast. He's strong.
He reminded me of Tevin Coleman.
Yes. Exactly. He looked. He was. I think he's about 6 feet tall. He's a big
yeah.
kid, and he's a long strider. He looks like almost like a sprinter. But man, you know, how do you get the ball? If I'm a Maryland fan, how do you get the ball to him only 13 times?
And they kept taking deep shots. I didn't understand it.
Well, the deep shots were open. It's just that Perry Hills is not a good pass.
I know, but. Yeah, but that's your quarterback. I mean, that play to your strength, and I don't think they did that very well, particularly in the second half. But one stat that I saw talking about the defense, the fourth quarter, which, yes, Maryland for much of that fourth quarter was forced to play catch-up to some extent, so they, you know, take this with a grain of salt. But I think that it was 12 carries for 6 yards. In the fourth quarter for Maryland. So the Indiana defense, you know, it was not a great day for them, and I think they'd be the first to tell you that they need to do a better job tackling. But, you know, they made some very big plays in big spots. What comes to mind, Marcus Oliver's two forced fumbles, Marcelino Ball's interception that Indiana eventually scored a touchdown off of. It was basically a punt. But,
yeah, it
still,
was 12 rushes for 6 yards, it looks like, Maryland
yeah,
ran for
yeah,
in the
so
fourth quarter. And
the defense
you know what?
Did
and,
enough to win.
Yeah, and they made plays. They recorded 4 sacks, 2 takeaways.
Yep.
Sacks were another thing we pointed out, that Maryland had given up 20 this season and had given up at least 3 over the last – 3 or 4 games again. So they were an opportunistic defense. It wasn't
That's fair.
It wasn't pretty at times, but it was a double digit win if not for that 5 yard garbage time touchdown that Maryland scored. But there are things to be concerned about: deep receivers
yes.
getting behind the secondary. Now, you're very concerned about the run, and maybe they're biting. You saw a lot of defensive backs bite on play action,
yeah.
and that's what happens. But that's the nature of Maryland's offense. If they had a quarterback
yep.
who could throw the deep ball accurately. Now, IU did make some great plays in the secondary. You had Marcelino Ball picked off a pass, I think he had 5 total pass breakups. You know, Tyler
yeah.
Green, again, made a great play. Rashard
uh-huh.
Vant had a pick, but there was a penalty, and those are the things that concern you. It's these little things like penalties, the roughing the passer at the end of the game, the offsides and hands to the face on the play
yeah.
that was a pick. Although if it's not offsides, I don't know if Hills throws that ball. It's a free play.
Right.
And things like that. And then you have to clean up special teams. Griffin Oaks cannot kick 2 kickoffs out of bounds. I know it's into
nope.
the wind, but they had 2 of them. Like, they didn't even have a shot at landing inbounds.
No.
And then you had
Maryland's kicker did fine with it. So.
Yeah, I mean, he had one that nearly went out of bounds. I don't know how it didn't bounce out of bounds, but he looked okay
yeah.
with it. You had a missed field goal on I forgot
38
the distance
yarder,
on
right?
it.
38,
I think it was a
38
yarder. Yeah. 38-yarder or so, and he
– off the post.
Yep, off the post. And then you had – Gideon had a 33-yard punt, inconsistent. Now, he didn't get a lot of work, and as a former punter, that's – you know, you kind of get out of a rhythm sitting on the sidelines for that much. And that first – I think it was the first punt, but it was like a line drive that didn't get 7 feet off the ground and ended up being a 33-yard punt. These are the little things that you could get away with against maybe teams like Rutgers and Maryland and Purdue. But when you're playing Penn State and Michigan, you cannot make these mistakes, and that's something that's going to have to be cleaned up before heading to New Jersey next week. But you know, overall, it's an encouraging performance. It was a major, major win for IU. They needed this one. And
absolutely,
you know, hopefully they could go into Rutgers, get that win, come back at 5-4. And I don't know this off the top of my head, but I would think that this is the latest IU would have been over 500 since 2007, probably, if they come out with the win next week.
I can't think of any other time where that would have been the case, because last year it took late wins to get the 6, and they weren't really close to it before that. So yeah, I'd agree with that, and that'd be good. You know, the penalties are certainly troubling. Part of me is prone to a couple of those. You know, we don't like to complain about officials. We're not going to spend much time on it at all. But they were terrible yesterday.
God.
Again.
Well,
I mean,
that's not news.
It's not every week. It's awful.
Every freaking week. It's every week with the officials. They got the, you know, it even started on the coin toss. I think the coin toss landed on its side. So,
how does that happen?
You know,
how does that happen?
I don't know. But when I was in Finite, I got into an argument with the teacher. I go, the coin at some point is going to land on its side. So don't give me this 50-50 stuff. I've watched enough football games where they toss the coin and it's not 50-50. So, you know, basically I hated Finite and it was stupid. I just don't like that math. But the officiating was terrible. They had the touchdown that Maryland scored right before the half, it was a heck of a catch, but by rule, his foot came down on the pylon, which rules you out of bounds. So it should not have been a touchdown. They reviewed it. Now the calls, which means maybe there wasn't enough evidence to see on replay if he landed on the pylon to overturn it, but the call on the field, you have five guys discussing it, and you're telling me that nobody saw his foot hit the pylon? It's just outrageous. It's every week with the Big Ten officials, and it's something that's got to change.
I don't think they knew the rule.
You could blame the system too. Look, I went up to the Big Ten officiating meeting this year. They're hardworking, decent people, you know, maybe it's time to make officiating a full time job where they could get training, where they could go to, you know, these spring practices and go to other where they could get the speed of the game underhand and make calls in games that don't matter. Now you could argue whether or not this game in the grand scheme of things matters. It matters to these two teams. It doesn't matter to the college football playoff that much, but it matters for these two teams. And if you can't get a call right on the field, you shouldn't be, you know, a referee. That's the way it is. Look, there are some great referees in college football. IU doesn't get them.
No. The Maryland's last drive, I don't know how long the pass was, 20, 25 yards to the far sideline from me. So it was on press box side. So opposite side from the IU bench, he got a foot down with possession of that ball. There was absolutely no way. And they gave him a catch. I mean, they overturned it fairly quickly, but
that one was like,
live. What are you doing?
That's Yeah, that's the call you get in video games where there's a glitch in the game and, you know, they say it's a catch and the guy lands in the middle of the white stripe out of bounds. It's embarrassing, and the Big Ten is embarrassing itself by keeping running these guys out there, and you know it's killing the game. This game should have been 3 hours and 15 minutes, maybe less than that.
Yeah, two teams ran the ball a ton, and it was still 3.5 hours more and more. So
yesterday
should have been a fairly short game because both teams ran the ball a lot, and you know, IU did not have a lot of incomplete passes. Maryland ended up having quite a few, but it should have been a pretty efficient game in terms of time, and it didn't end up being that because of, one, TV timeouts. Those aren't going away. Okay, fine. But, two, it's referee discussions.
Unnecessary reviews. And my final point on the referees, I don't want to spend half the show on it, was at the end of the first quarter – the guy goes, it's the end of the first half. And I know it's not a big deal, but come on.
Yep. And around that time period, they miss Kevin Wilson literally 10 yards on the field trying to get a timeout.
Calling a timeout.
And no, just not seeing him, which I don't know how. I mean, everybody else saw it, but
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever.
We have great photographic evidence of Wilson yelling at the referee after trying to take that timeout. So look for our photo gallery coming up here soon. And I don't blame him. And I said this after Nebraska is, look, at some point you've got to say something. Like, this is enough is enough. And you know, if you want to work with the Big Ten and say, hey, let's have referees at practice every day of every week. Send them down. We're more than happy to help do that.
Yep.
But to get constantly, you know, railroaded by calls, it's frustrating. It's beyond frustrating. It's like I want to smash my head against the desk in the press box. But we can't do that because we're not supposed to cheer. So it was a good win. What are your thoughts going into Rutgers?
Well, I on the way home, my dad and I were listening to the IU post game show with Ken Bykoff. They do a great job there. We're listening to that at times. How critical it will be for Indiana to, not get a full head and overlook Rutgers. I don't see how this team is in a position to do that to anybody, but it's a good point that Indiana has to focus on. Yes, you put yourself in a great position, but mentally this week during practice, and it won't happen on Saturday. It's during practice this week where you need to be as mentally locked in this week on all the little things that they said in the postgame that they did a better job of this week against Maryland for preparation against the Terrapins. You've got to have that same level of preparation and intensity and focus, just overall effort this week in practice in preparation for Rutgers that you did for Maryland. It's got to be that same thing. It's got to be a consistent effort to get it done on Saturday. Rutgers has had a bye week this past Saturday, so they will have 2 weeks to prepare for Indiana. And, IU just gave them a whole lot to look at on film. You know, this package that we have, I just put an article out about it with a couple of quotes and, some numbers and kind of what Indiana's offense is going to do with it moving forward. It's very unlikely it will have the same level of success at any other point. Now that teams have it on film, have it to prepare for, and Rutgers is already preparing for it. So it's going to be very critical that the coaches put a couple wrinkles on it. You're going to continue to see it, I hope. I mean, it'd be crazy to go away from it entirely, but it's going to have to be tweaked
a
little. It's just going to have to be tweaked a little, so they're going to have to figure out some additional ways to get that running game, continue to have it going. But my overall thoughts are Rutgers is playing better. They played better the past couple of weeks on offense than they had before. I don't think that they are nearly as bad as they were at the start of the Big Ten season. So it's going to be a bigger challenge than it looked like it was going to be about a month ago or 6 weeks ago. But I still feel like Indiana, they'll definitely be favorites. And I feel like if they can have a solid, consistent performance, again, with a solid start, it was very important that you got off to a good start, and they did. I think if Indiana can do that and have a solid week of preparation without taking their foot off the gas and thinking that, oh, we beat Maryland, we're going to get the 6 wins now. That was the tough one. As long as they don't have that mindset, I think Indiana will have a pretty good shot of beating Rutgers in a somewhat comfortable game. I'm not expecting a 28-point blowout, but I think a solid performance, you know, maybe an A-minus, B-plus game from Indiana gets you a 10 to 14-point victory and your fifth win. But, you know, we'll do our preview stuff this coming week, but the level of preparation has got to be the same as it was this week against Maryland.
Yeah, I agree with you, and if I'm the coaches, I pop in that Rutgers tape from last year. That
no
game
more.
Is, you know, it was awful to say the least. But
the second half was awful.
The first half was awful too. They went into halftime. They were up big in the first half, and went into halftime with a deficit, kind of like Maryland. And then they had a great third quarter and blew it in the fourth quarter. But use it as a warning. This is what happens when you take your foot off the gas. You're going to end up – and that the game ended up not being as damaging as we'd all once said it was going to be. Season ender, a win that they had to have. But this is a game –
it would have been pinstripe bowl either way, probably.
Well, you might not have – well, it would have been pinstripe, but that's a game you counted on for 6 wins. And you had go in and win those last two. But use that as a warning. Hey, we got to keep focus this week. There are some good players on Rutgers. Grant is out for the year, but they have Josh Hicks. They have some good running backs. Their quarterback looks like he's playing, it's a new quarterback, and he's lit a fire under them. They almost knocked off Minnesota. Now bowl eligible. And so this it could be a danger. It's a noon game on the road. Hopefully it's not as sleepy as Northwestern, but you got to be ready to play. And I pop in that tape. This is what happens when you're not ready to play and when you take your foot off the gas. So – should it be a win? I think ESPN's FPI gives IU like a 73% chance of winning, but games aren't played on FPI. Games are played on a football field. So I feel good. IU should feel good. We'll see. I agree with you. I think they'll continue to run this package, but now it's a game of adjustments. It's just like baseball.
Right.
When you're a rookie and you're off to a hot start, the pitcher adjusts. And now you have to adjust to that. So we'll see how Rutgers plays this defense, see if IU can adjust and add some more, maybe Xander throws or different types of runs out of it. And we'll see what this offense could do. And defensively, they got to clean up a few things, take care of these penalties, take care of the missed tackles, and continue just to play hard for 60 minutes. So I feel good. It's good to win again. It's good to have a post-game show where we're not talking about a loss and how mad people are. It's a big sigh of relief that they won yesterday. And now we could head into Rutgers with a little bit of confidence and hopefully get out of New Jersey with a win and see what we could do against Penn State. So, but that's 2 weeks away. This week is Rutgers. And TJ, thanks for taking the time on Sunday. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Absolutely, yeah. Just, thanks everybody for continuing to listen and follow the site. It's definitely every season is enjoyable for us, but it's great to be back on level footing at 4-4 and still have realistic bowl hopes. That makes it all the more enjoyable for us. You know, it's no fun to cover a team with no postseason prospects. So, hopefully, like you said, Indiana can make a few tweaks, clean up a few things, and have a good performance on Saturday. We'll have our preview pod on Thursday. Is that correct? Thursday?
Yeah, won't be Wednesday. If you want to do it Tuesday or Thursday, Thursday will probably work better. I will be en route to New York on Wednesday.
Great.
We'll do a preview podcast Thursday.
And all of our regular preview content, we'll do recap content, bowl projection stuff Monday, and then begin the preview for Rutgers as well. So, yeah, keep coming back to Hoosier Huddle for all the preview content, and hopefully our Hoosiers can get to 5-4, and we can say, yeah, we are a winning football team in the month of November. That'd be cool to say.
Yep, it definitely would. And thanks for listening to the podcast. Come back to HoosierHuddle.com often. We'll have our photo gallery up, as well as numbers that mattered later today. And we'll have, as TJ said, the rest of our weekly coverage up the rest of the week on our normal times. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. And enjoy the rest of your NFL Sunday.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.